This morning, I was thinking about hiding in that igloo and then jumping out at the right time. But I had to weigh it against being here in worship and singing with you all. And I thought that was the better way to go. Thank you, Elder Nicholas and team, for leading us in great worship this morning. And I think I made the right choice. So let us pray together. Lord God, we do want to know you. We want to love you. We want to serve you. We want to be with you. May you use your word this morning, and may you use me, your servant, to help us get to know you better, to help us get closer to you and to understand more and more of what you are doing in us and around us. I ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading from Proverbs, and you can follow along in your sermon notes. I'm going to read the passage in three different sections. The first section will be the first four verses. It starts off like this. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. In this section, the name of God is not even mentioned. This section is about a father who sits down and speaks to a son. Now, in case you're wondering, in the Bible, the ladies are also called the sons of God, and men are also included in the bride of Christ. And so when he calls him my son, he's including women as well. So if you're a lady here today, you are included when he says, my son. But the father is speaking wisdom to his child, and the wisdom that he's speaking, he has himself received from his father, who has received the wisdom from his father, and so forth, all the way back to God, who is the creator and father of us all. So what is not explicitly named here, the name of God is not explicitly given to us, but it's inferred that this wisdom is wisdom that comes from God and is passed on through generations. So keep that in mind, that when he gives us wisdom, it's not just his own thoughts that he's giving, but it's wisdom that he has received and has passed on from God himself. But he's very animated. He says, my son, pay attention. Now he's been talking up to now, Proverbs 1, 2, and 3, he's been instructing his son, but all of a sudden he becomes very animated and becomes very, very serious. He says, my son, pay attention to what I'm going to tell you now, because I'm going to tell you something very, very important right now and right here. Turn your ear towards me and listen to what I'm going to say to you. This is very, very important. And then in that passage, what he does is he gives us, let me just go back to that. He gives us those underlined passages, those underlined words, where he says, turn your ear to my words, do not let them out of your sight, and keep them within your heart. Three words, ear, sight, and heart. And what's interesting is that sight and hearing are the only two ways that information would come to us from the outside. When we see things, whether we read something, whether we see something in nature, or we see something, an event that happens, we either see something, it comes into our minds, into our brains, and it's from the brain and from the mind that it can go down to the heart. Or we can hear something, whether it's a video, it's an audio, or it's someone that speaks to us, but we hear something, it goes through the ear, goes to the mind, and from the mind down to the heart. These are the ways that information comes into our hearts. It comes through the ears and through the eyes. And so the father is saying to the son, pay attention, turn your ear, and don't let it out of your sight. Because through your ears and through your sight, it's going to go down to your heart. And then why is this important? He says, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. What I'm giving you, that is so important. What I'm giving you today is going to be life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. I don't know what's going on with this. Is this acting up today? So, for they are life and health. These are the two main things that he's going on about. Life and health. Life and health is going to depend upon what's in the heart. And what's in the heart is going to come through the eyes and the ears. So, through the ears, through the eyes, to the heart is going to cause health and life to the person. And that's why this father is so serious when he talks to the child at this point in time, saying, pay attention to what I'm going to say to you because there's a lot at stake here. And then he says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else. Most important, I'm telling you important stuff, but most important is to guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Up to now, he's been talking about what flows into the heart, through the ears and through the eyes, flowing into the heart. But now he's talking about the heart. He says, now guard this heart, take care of it. What does the speaker mean when he uses this word heart? The heart is the central organ of the body in the wisdom literature. It has an intellectual or thinking component, as well as the basic orientation of a person, embracing their desires, emotions, and attitudes. Some people refer to the heart as an inner garden, the place where you are you. He says, everything flows from the heart. When Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, he told them that if the inside of the cup is unclean, the outside will be unclean too. And then he explained it by saying, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Jesus concluded by urging them to clean the inside of the cup because then the outside will be clean as well. The father keeps on instructing his son, and he says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Once again, you see the underlined clauses there. Your mouth, your lips, your eyes, your gaze, your feet, your ways, and your foot. Very, very important. These are the things that are flowing from the heart. The first part, he was talking about what goes into the heart. Then he says, guard the heart. And now he's talking what flows out from the heart. And from the heart comes talking, looking, walking. Where do you go? Where do you not go? What do you say? What don't you say? Where do you look? And where don't you look? All those kind of things come from the heart, from the inside. And so the father, in his wisdom, is instructing the son, saying, there's pathways into your heart, and then from the heart flows everything. Therefore, most important, guard your heart. And that is what I'm going to focus on this morning. What does it mean to guard your heart? I'm going to ask four different questions. I'm going to ask the questions, who, what, why, and how. Those questions are always helpful if you want to know something. Who, what, why, and how? Who is the guardian of my heart? The first answer, of course, is God. God is the one who's created me. God is the one who loves me. God is the one who lives inside of me. And God is the one who's going to guard my heart. Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God that transcends understanding will guard your heart. That peace will keep your heart from becoming anxious or fearful or worried or concerned or all those things that can create so much trouble in our lives. Peace of God will form a protection in your heart. So God is the first person who guards my heart. But the second person is me. And this is what I want to talk about today. My message today is not about God guarding our hearts. My message today is about us. The responsibility on you and me to guard our hearts. This is what the Father is saying to the Son. He's not saying to the Son, don't worry about everything because God's going to take care of it. His instruction to the Son is, my Son, listen to this. This is very important. Guard your heart. Because from it flows everything. Some versions, the old NIV said, from it, or guard your heart because it is the wellspring of life. It's like water, it's like life, it's coming from your heart. It flows out through your whole life. Therefore, guard your heart. Now, many of you, I know when you grew up, would have chores at home that you got to do. Some stuff that your parents, you know, ask you to do. And what they kind of try and do is try and train you up. Try and get you used to working, responsibility, being faithful. You know, even if you don't feel like it, just go out there and just do the chores. And they felt that if they teach you that, it's going to help you the rest of your life. Now, in my house, some of my children have to work together to get things done. And the way that they work together is to divide it and say, well, you do that half and I'll do that half. And we'll come home and we'll say, you know, the house is supposed to be vacuumed. Yeah, well, so-and-so has to vacuum upstairs and so I'm going to vacuum downstairs. And so it's 50-50. That's kind of how they want to do it. So when it comes to the responsibility of guarding my heart, what I want to say is that this is not a 50-50 deal. God does 50% and I do 50%. God takes care of a certain part and I take care of a certain part. It's rather like a husband and wife standing next to a nice water fountain. And while they're standing there, their little toddler goes, leans over and falls into the water. And there's a very present fear that this child could drown right here, right now, in front of their eyes. There is a responsibility upon the husband and the wife to save their child. And that responsibility is not 50-50. Well, you know, if you walk halfway there, I'll walk the rest and, you know, I'll get our child out of the water. That responsibility is 100%, 100%. The wife is 100% responsible to get their child out, and the husband is 100% responsible to get their child out. No sharing of responsibility, both of them 100% responsible. And that's how it is with our hearts. God is responsible for us and for our well-being, and we are responsible 100%. And so when we think about that, we have to own that responsibility and we have to say, okay, if it is me, if it is up to me, 100% up to me, then how am I going to do this? And what am I going to do? Well, that's the first question. Who? Who is responsible to guard my heart? The second question is, what? What is to be guarded? Three things: wisdom, life, and spirit. Wisdom, life, and spirit. The Lord Jesus said in John, he spoke and he said this. He says, "The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life." These words that have entered through your ears, through your mind, and into your heart, these words are full of life and of spirit. When Jesus meets the woman at the well, he answers her and he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" But Jesus explains this. He says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." There will be a spring inside that person. And rivers of living water will flow from the inside out. From the heart, it will flow out through the whole being of the person. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Wisdom, life, and spirit. This living water, this fountain, the spring that comes from inside, is also mentioned in the Old Testament in Jeremiah, when God says this. He says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." They have forsaken me, their God, and I am the spring of living water. So when Jesus says, those who believe in me, those who receive my words in you will become spirit and life. When he says that, he's talking about taking from what is the Father's and giving what is the Father's to those people, to the disciples, to those who believe on him. The Father is the spring, the living spring with living water, which is passed on by Jesus from his Father to us. This becomes living water in us. God himself, God's life being lived in us. Ultra pure spring water. That is what should be guarded. It is life. That's what the Father said to the Son. He says, it is life and it is health. The third question is why? Why should this be guarded? Why is anything guarded in this life? Things that are worthwhile are guarded. Things that are worth nothing are not guarded. But things that are worth something. So the first reason why it should be guarded is because it is worth it. It is really a matter of life and death. When we guard that which is inside of us, we should not be like Esau. Because Esau did not value his birthright. If you think back to the story of Esau, and you know that he was a hunter, and he came back one day, and he was very, very tired and very hungry. And then he said to his brother Jacob, he said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. And he ate and he drank and he rose and he went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. For him, that which should have been guarded, for him, that which was so precious did not matter. In fact, Esau rather went for his immediate need, which was hunger. He was hungry. He felt the hunger and he said, I want food and I want it now. And I don't care what I give for this food. I will give away my birthright. You see, Esau had something that was important, his birthright. But he showed his lack of discernment by sacrificing the important for the immediate. That which is important and which should have been treasured and guarded, he did not care for that. He let that go for his immediate need. Sometimes we do that too. As human beings, we are often tempted to grab hold of the immediate and to let go of the important. A wise and a discerning person knows how to differentiate between the immediate and the important, and how much weight to give to each. Jesus told the parable of the pearl merchant who found the pearl of great price. And he went immediately, when he realized the value of that price, of that pearl, he went immediately and sold all he had and came and he bought that pearl. And Jesus told a story about the man who found the treasure in the field. And he said, the kingdom of God is like that treasure. When the man realized how precious it is and how much it is worth, he immediately went, sold all he had. He came back and he bought that field. It's a recognition of what is truly valuable. Esau did not have that. The second reason why we should guard this truth and this deposit in us, this life and the spirit and this wisdom, is because it influences all of my life. This is a picture of a river in Colorado. You might have heard of this on the news this past week, but it was flooded with 3 million gallons of toxic sludge from an old gold mine. People from the EPA went there and they wanted to clean things up and they made a mistake and it was all released into the river. As you know, with rivers, once the toxins come into the water, it's going to flow downstream. Whatever enters upstream goes downstream. And that's the way with a river. If the source of the river is polluted, that pollution will go downstream and the whole river will become polluted. But if the source of the river is pure, then that pure water will flow downstream. And the pure water will bring life wherever it goes. So, very simple. Clear water means pure life. The spring can either be pure or the spring can be polluted. One of the two. And whatever happens in the spring is going to flow through the rest of the river and for us through the rest of our lives. And that's why we have to guard our hearts. My thoughts, my attitudes, my actions, everything flows from my heart. The third reason why I should guard my heart is because at the end of my life, I will exchange the deposit in me for eternal life. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, he says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He writes to the Corinthians and he says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Spirit in our hearts is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. When I was growing up as a young kid, we would buy our sodas in a shop in a glass bottle. It was before tin cans and plastic bottles. Everything was glass. It was a glass bottle, and you got a deposit. And once you've finished your soda, you take the bottle back to the store, and they give you your money again to refund your deposit. The amount of the deposit had to be high enough so that people would actually go take the bottles back. If the amount is not high enough, people don't care about it. But if it's a nice amount that you'll get back and there's enough money in it, you're going to take care of that bottle and you're going to take it back to the store. Well, that's the nature of a deposit. A deposit is not the whole thing. It's not the end result. A deposit is something that you can keep until you get to the real thing. Until you get that money back, you keep that bottle. It's a deposit. And God's given us His Spirit to be in us, in our hearts. So that as we keep that, as we guard our heart, not to lose that Spirit, not to grieve that Holy Spirit in us. When we get to the end of our lives, this deposit is returned and we get eternal life. We get the real thing. And Paul says it is so worth it. He writes to the Corinthians and he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Three very good reasons why we guard our hearts. And now we come to the last question. How? How do we do this? We know that we are responsible to guard our hearts. We know what is in our hearts. It's life, it's wisdom, it's spirit. We know why we should guard it, and now we come to the fourth. How do we do this? How do we guard our hearts? Well, like any good sports team, I know the NFL started this week, CFL have just started, but any good sports team has an offense and a defense. And so what we need to do is we need to play offense and we need to play defense. Firstly, I'm going to talk about offense. How do we play offense to guard what is in our hearts? The Apostle Paul writes again, and he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So for us to go on the offense means we need to occupy our minds with good things. We occupy our minds by thinking about those things that are right and noble and true and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. All these great things is what we should think about. And as we focus on that and as we think about that, those things will go from our minds and sink down into our hearts. There are some things that come into our minds, there are some things that stay in our minds, and there are some things that sink down into our hearts. What comes in, what stays in, and what sinks down. Now, what comes in is very hard to control. What stays in is what we should control. And then from that which what stays in, some will sink down. So if we have these thoughts about these good things stay in our minds, and we keep them in our minds, and we keep thinking about that, then some of those things in our minds are going to go down and sink down into our hearts. Those things are going to strengthen and mature and expand the wisdom and the life that is in us. Those things are things that the Holy Spirit will use to give us this life coming from the inside out. So this is offense. We think about those good things. And then defense. In John 10, he writes, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is why we have to play defense. That's why we have to guard our heart. Because there is someone out there who is trying to rob us, who's trying to steal from us, who's trying to put down those good things in our heart. Our enemy, Satan, as we know, only has one goal in mind, and that is to destroy us. He has no other good thoughts about us at all. Satan is pure evil. He only has evil thoughts, and he only thinks evil things, and he only has evil plans. And so when he comes against us, and he sees the deposit that's in our hearts, and he sees the life and the spirit, all the good things in our hearts, that's what he's going to try and get into. He wants to rob from there. He wants to steal from you. But you need to guard. You need to defend it. You need to keep it, because one day you're going to give that deposit in to get eternal life. What does he want to steal from you? He wants to steal your life. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your contentment. He wants to take all those good things from you. They say that the most dangerous thing in all the world is an idea. Once an idea enters through the mind, once an idea stays in the mind, once an idea sinks down into the heart, it takes root, starts to change the person. So we need to guard our hearts from wrong ideas entering in and taking root in our hearts. We have to evaluate what comes in. We have to evaluate what stays in our minds, and we have to evaluate what's going to sink in. We have things, ideas, and other things that come in through TV and radio, through books, newspapers, and magazines, through the internet, through friends of ours. Different things, different thoughts, different ideas are going to enter through those different access points. Our job, as we are guarding our heart, is to evaluate those things. When a thought wants to come in, we say, oh, I know you. You stay out. You don't come into my mind. Or when a thought comes in, we say, well, I'm not sure about you. Let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Let me read my scriptures and see what I think about this. Let me maybe talk to some Christian friends. Let me do some research and find out, what should I make of you? Should I let you in, or should I show you the door? And then some thoughts we know, these are good, these are great, these are beautiful and true and profitable and pure. These ones can come in. Those decisions are decisions we have to make every day, every hour, almost every minute of every day. We are the guardians of our heart. We are the gatekeepers. We allow thoughts in and we push thoughts out. There's an old story about a man walking along and a bird flying over his head, and the man being upset about that, but the old saying is that you can't stop a bird flying over your head. In the same way that you can't stop any thoughts that enter your mind, thoughts that come from things that you see or hear or read. But the saying goes that even though you can't stop the bird from flying over your head, you can stop the bird from nesting on your head. And in the same way, you can stop thoughts from staying in your mind. Maybe that thought that came was uninvited, and maybe that thought that came was, caught you by surprise. But now that you know that that thought is trying to enter your mind, you have a choice to make. Am I going to allow this thought to stay, or am I going to show this thought the door? So you can't stop the bird from flying, but you can stop the bird from nesting. Now, once the thought has stayed long enough in your mind, that thought can sink down to your heart. And once that thought is in your heart, it's going to start changing you from the inside. Once the spring is polluted, the whole life will be polluted, right? But if the spring is pure, the whole life will be pure. One of the ways that our hearts are most often touched is by friends of ours. Because a friend has direct access to our hearts. A friend is already trusted. A friend has already made that connection with us. And so when our friend speaks to us, those words, more often than not, go into the mind, but they go to the heart pretty quickly. Because our friends are given access by us. So it's very important for us, when we have friends, to differentiate which friends are we giving access to our hearts, and which friends are we just giving access to our minds. This is very important. Because for many of us, we have friends who are non-Christian. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, that's a good thing. Because that's how you can be a blessing to those who are non-believers. That's also how you can be a witness to those who are non-believers. So that's not a bad thing. But if you give that person access to your heart, that becomes dangerous. Because this is the wellspring of life. Everything is going to flow from here. If the spring gets polluted, the whole life and the whole body will be polluted. You say, well, my I've got good friends, you know. They're not bad. They're not going to pollute me. Well, what Jesus was trying to say is that God is the spring of eternal life. That God is the spring of living water. And if my friend is a non-Christian and that friend doesn't have that spring, then God is not giving living water into that person's life. And so what's going to flow through their life? It's not going to be the water from God. So it's critical for us then to evaluate and know, who do I give access to my heart? Because the spring can be polluted or the spring can be pure. Very, very important. Very critical. I'm going to close with this. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Colossians. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Let us pray. Oh Lord God, your word is very clear that you have given us a great treasure and you have placed it in our hearts. You have given us your spirit. You have given us your life. And you've given us your wisdom. And Lord, it is our privilege and it is our task and our responsibility to guard that which you've given to us. I know sometimes, Lord, we mess up and sometimes we don't do as we should. And so we confess and we ask for forgiveness for those times. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would help us to discern and to know which things we should give access to and which things we should not. Help us, Lord, to discern which things we should block out of our lives. And help us, Lord, to think on the positive side about these good things, the things that are true and beautiful and pure and holy and righteous and just. The things that come from you and things that are for your kingdom. Please bless us, Lord, as we try to do this and try to live this life, Lord, in your sight, in a faithful way. We pray in Jesus' name.